Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN, I'm John Landecker, and this is the Charlie Watts Quintet. That's right. And a song called Bluebird. Yeah. Yeah. Not quite as loud as the Rolling Stones, but Charlie Watts loved jazz. In fact, I think he loved jazz more than he loved rock and roll, but it didn't pay as well. No, I don't. I mean, obviously it doesn't pay as well, but I don't think that had anything to do with his decision to join the Rolling Stones. And if you haven't heard, unfortunately, at the age of 80, Charlie Watts, the drummer for the Rolling Stones, has passed away. So I thought we've got to do something. I mean, come on. Rock and roll and the Stones are like synonymous. You know, the greatest rock band in the history of rock and roll, as far as I'm concerned. Truly. Now, that's not taking anything away from the Beatles or anything else. But the Beatles were more, to me, esoteric. They became more esoteric, more experimental. And the Stones did start me up. Okay? I mean, there we go. There we go right there. Now, who's the guy we tried to get a hold of today? Chuck Lavelle. We had Chuck Lavelle on a few months ago. He plays in the Rolling Stones band, which over the years, you know, you had your initial lineup. Then Brian Jones died in a swimming pool. And then over the years, there have been additional bass players, keyboard artists, horn players, saxophone players, background singers. I mean, it's become a whole production. So Chuck plays with the Rolling Stones. So we called him today, or tried to call him today, or call his PR person. And his PR person said, well, first of all, he said, I've gotten 30 calls in the past 15 minutes. But Chuck can't come to the phone because he's rehearsing. Okay? Read between the lines. Charlie Watts had announced he's not going to tour, I guess, months ago. So, you know, Bill Wyman hasn't played with the Stones in years, but they have another bass player. So they have another drummer. I don't think I know who that is, but they are rehearsing right now for an upcoming tour. Although I haven't heard anything about Charlie Watts from his other bandmates, but I'm sure there's plenty out there. It's just that I haven't discovered it yet. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number if you care to share any Rolling Stone memories that you may have, because I know they played Chicago numerous times, because I went to two of them. The first one, anybody out there go to the one at the International Amphitheater? Remember the International Amphitheater? What a dump. Anyway, Stevie Wonder was the opening act for the Rolling Stones. And then again, they were at Soldier Field, and Journey was the opening act. They also came to town at least once and played, you know, like these secret concerts. Well, actually, they weren't really concerts. They would be like club dates, like in a, like at the Metro or something. You know, they play a small venue that only held a few people. And it was a secret, and you had to have some sort of, somebody had to tell you about it, and word of mouth and that kind of thing. So, and Jagger was walking around here. Well, obviously before COVID, I remember seeing pictures of him in Lincoln Park. Unrecognizable with a hat on. Let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on WGN. Hello.
Yeah, hi there. I had the pleasure of actually meeting Charlie in person once. fall of 81, the Stones went on tour. It was the very first time a corporation sponsored a rock and roll tour.
Yeah.
And I guess the lure of easy money was too easy to pass up. So Jovan, the perfume company, sponsored the 81 Stones tour. I believe it went on in 82. And November, I hung around in front of the Whitehall Hotel because I heard they were staying there. Yeah. One night I met Keith Richards and another person, a very well-known person who's passed away, Bill Graham, the promoter.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
The same night. And it was a shock. I didn't expect to meet Keith. No, I was standing around. All of a sudden, the revolving door on the Whitehall Hotel spins around. Here's Keith wearing a tiny little leather jacket, marches straight out, ignores everybody. Somebody yells, Keith! They took his picture. He hopped into a limo. It wasn't even his car, and takes off.
Well, of course.
Like less than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And everybody looks at each other and says, was that Keith Richards? And an hour later, I turn around. He's walking down the street with his girlfriend, the girl he eventually married, Pam, the blonde girl.
Yes.
You know who that is?
I do, indeed.
I ran up to him, slapped him on the back, said, Keith, good to see you. Would you sign this for me?
You slapped him on... Wait a minute. You slapped him on the back?
Yeah, I said, good to see you. Slapped him. Yes.
He didn't have any security with him? He didn't have any security with him?
No, he didn't.
Wow, how about that? Good story.
I had this old Doors album, which I painted over at for an art school project I did many years ago. It was like a make-believe Rolling Stones album, and he scribbled his name on there.
Oh, nice.
Later that night, Bill Graham came out. Of course, he owned the Fillmore East, Fillmore West.
Right.
He was the very first big rock and roll promoter ever. So
yeah. He
smelled a ton of money and went for it and made it. About a month later, the Stones put on a show one night in Rockford, and I met Charlie that night. I hung around in front of the White Hall again. He had on a three-piece suit. I think he was wearing a trench coat as well. Perfect gentleman. He signed autographs for me and anybody who asked. I mean... Well,
thanks for calling, nice. Mike. I appreciate it. You know, when you talk about corporations sponsoring tours, at about the same time, Schlitz Beer sponsored The Who's final tour. Uh-huh. That was... about 1981. Let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I remember very fondly taking my children. It was four kids in 2006. And I said, you've got to come and hear the greatest rock and roll band. So this is 14 years ago. So my oldest was probably 30. And my youngest was probably 10. And Mick Jagger was on stage. It was so cold, we were wearing ski gear.
And wow.
Jagger was on the stage with his tails. He wore tails, and they were flapping in the wind. He says, I can't feel me feet. It was just a great experience. And I just wanted to share that with you.
I'm glad you did, Tom. I really appreciate your calling. Thank you. You know, in the course of being a radio person, and people ask me every once in a while, do you get starstruck? And my answer usually is no. But there was one occasion. I mentioned the Rolling Stones were playing Soldier Field, and Journey was the opening act, and I had a backstage pass. And the backstage area was set up like a small town. You know, there were trailers and food, and so I'm coming around one of these trailers. You know, I turn around the corner, and Mick Jagger and I almost bump into each other. And I was, like, speechless. I was not prepared for a Mick Jagger encounter. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number if you've got Stone stories. We have some interviews with Charlie Watts, one from 1966 and one from... about the time they did that infamous Altamont concert. All of that coming your way next on 720 WGN. Yeah, you do. Jagger, Charlie Watts, and the Stones doing Get Off My Cloud, which has a prominent intro done by Watts on the drums. In case you're just joining us, Charlie, and don't know the news, Charlie Watts from the Rolling Stones passed away today at the age of 80. And we are reminiscing and paying tribute. And that kind of thing. So if you have anything that you care to add about any experience you've had going to a Stones concert in Chicago or anywhere else for that matter. 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. Now, we got a couple of clips from some interviews. The first one goes back to 1966, and it's a little difficult to hear the interviewer because he's off mic. But it's a question, I believe, about American audiences and rock and roll. Let's hear it.
What sort of influence do you think the sort of pop business and the pop music has had on American youth?
American youth?
Yeah.
I think we've shattered America as far as show business. The word show business doesn't mean much, I'm sure. We've gone over there as just ordinary people, really.
There was more to it, but it became a little garbled. And I think that's the reaction of a lot of the English bands who came over in what did they call that? The British Invasion, yeah. Yeah, we're just regular folks here in the United States. Now, is this from the movie Gimme Shelter? Okay, so remember how successful Woodstock was? Well, the idea was, well, let's do that at Altamont, a raceway in California. And things did not work out well from the get-go. They hired Hell's Angels as security. Somebody was stabbed in the crowd, and here's a clip of Charlie Watts.
I think I remember him, because there was a couple of them before we went on. They were really very nice, you know, a couple of them guys. It just, I mean, the way they cleared the path, for instance, was incredible. And were you there? Was you in that? In the party that had to be led to the stage? My goodness. That's just the way they did it, you know. Very, very. Because before that, I didn't really think there was anything going on, you know. Really. I mean, I didn't hear anything because we were right at the side. Oh, dear, what a shame.
You remember there was an actual, if you've seen that documentary, when the Stones are performing, I think it's a Hell's Angel in the crowd. You can see the knife in his hand, and Jagger says something to the effect of, "That cat over there, man! That cat over there!" Thank you, John. Let's go to Jim. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, John. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got a story about the Stones. Now, I have not seen them in concert yet.
Okay.
But I'm 50 years old.
All right.
But this goes back to when I was in probably sixth grade.
Yeah.
And I saved up my money, and I got my very first boombox. Now, I'm sure people my age can remember when you got your very first boombox, right?
You bet.
And I'm pulling this thing out of the box. I'm taking the styrofoam off, and I can smell the new plastic and all that stuff, and plug it in. And the very first song that I'm looking to record was Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat in front of that radio for an hour, maybe even more, with the pause and record play button pushed down, ready to hit that pause button to get the music. So sure enough, that song comes on, Start Me Up, and I record it, and I must have listened to that song hundreds of times, totally ruined the tape because I listened to it so much.
Right.
And the reason I tell this story, even though I'm not, you know, I've never seen a concert, but
okay.
I hear that song today, and it takes me right back to when I was a kid, sitting in my room, listening to that radio. It's just a great memory.
You know, I got to tell you, Jim, many people who ended up in radio as disc jockeys did pretty much what you did. I went into a closet in my bedroom, and I had a reel-to-reel tape recorder tuned to the local rock station, and when a record came on, I would record it, and then I would pretend I was a disc jockey. I still pretend I'm a disc jockey. Some things haven't changed. But, you know, I think a lot of us did that because it was before you could just run out and, well, you get a 45, but it was cool to tape it off the radio. Thanks for calling, Jim. I appreciate it. All right. We got time here, 312-981-7200. Not a lot of time. Wait a minute. Time is on our side. Bob, hello.
That's one of my favorites. Time is on our side.
Yeah.
I saw the Stones in 1978 at Soldier Field, and one of the best memories of Charlie, as always, of course, Mick would do the jokes, and Charlie would fill in with the snare drum right away.
Right? Yeah, rim shots.
And over the years, and I saw them at the Horizon in 1981.
Wow.
And then I just took my son in 2019 at Soldier Field again, and he loved it. He's 20 years old now.
Yeah. And they sounded great, I'll bet, too, didn't they?
They absolutely sounded fantastic.
Yeah.
My son learned the art of you don't sit down ever at a Stones concert because all you do is dance. So
That's back
in 78 at Soldier Field, Mick did one line that Charlie really gave his best snare drum ever to. And it was when they did Far Away Eyes, and Mick said, "Here comes a country song. So all of you that like country can hug each other. And all of you that don't like country can S each other." And Charlie went, ba-boom. That's my Stone stories.
Didn't
You're
they
the best,
do,
John.
Oh, thank you. Didn't they do a, I appreciate the call, didn't they do a sort of a countrified version of Honky Tonk Woman? Didn't they record, this is all coming to me now. I think so. I may go look. You know, why not? What else is going on? Well, we are.